Strange News Daily is a production of iHeartMedia.
In a world full of bizarre events, unsolved mysteries, and a billion stories from all corners of the globe, some news gets lost in the shuffle. This is your gateway to the stories on the fringe of the mainstream map. These are your dispatches in the dark. I'm Ben Bolin, and this is the Strange News Daily. Our first story today. How far would you go to stay out of prison? One West Virginia woman decided to fake her death. Julie Wheeler and her husband, Rodney Wheeler, have been arrested and charged with allegedly faking her death by making it look as if she'd fallen off a cliff at a state park in an effort to avoid prison time after pleading guilty to submitting fraudulent applications to the Veterans Administration while she was working as a caretaker for a patient. U.S. Attorney Mike Stewart says Wheeler faced up to 10 years in prison, a $250,000 fine, as well as restitution ranging somewhere from $302,000 to $469,000. She was scheduled to be sentenced on June 17th. Wheeler was first reported missing on May 31st. Only to be found later, alive and well, hiding in a downstairs closet of the Wheeler's home on June 2nd. Rodney Wheeler and his 17-year-old son told authorities Julie Wheeler had fallen from the main overlook at Grandview State Park while looking for a missing earring. Officials launched a massive search and rescue mission. Dive teams searched the river, helicopters scoured the region, rappellers were even climbing down the gorge to look for this missing person. On June 1st, Rodney Wheeler went to Facebook and asked for prayers for his allegedly missing wife. He wrote, "The accident at Grandview yesterday involved my wife. They haven't found her yet, but I am holding out hope that she will be found and she is okay. I am heartbroken and lost right now, but I have to have faith. Please give us time to work through this, and please keep us in your thoughts and prayers." State police were able to locate Julie Wheeler when they obtained a search warrant for cell phones and other electronic communications at the Wheeler's home. The lead investigator, Trooper C.A. Dunn, says the entire thing was planned, adding that Rodney Wheeler and his son planted items at the Grandview Overlook to fake the death or disappearance of Julie Wheeler. Both Julie and Rodney Wheeler were arrested on June 4th. They were charged with conspiracy and giving false information to the West Virginia State Police. While the idea of faking one's death is often portrayed favorably in fiction, it's actually an extraordinarily difficult trick to pull off successfully in the modern day. The technical word for faking your death is pseudocide, and the vast majority of people, at least in the U.S., who attempt to fake their deaths are eventually found. They're often found when one of their co-conspirators attempts to collect a sketchy life insurance policy, or when the emotional weight of cutting ties with your old life simply becomes too much for someone to bear. Plus, think about how closely the average person is tracked these days. Forget about the FBI, the NSA, and the rest of the alphabet. Your phone follows you. Multiple tech companies know where you go and when. They've built profiles of you that are, in some cases, already able to predict your future actions. If you truly want to get away from it all, it is much better to slowly go off the grid. And for Pete's sake, don't rack up insurance fraud on the way. our second story today, it's no secret that hurricanes can wreak tremendous, lasting havoc in the U.S. and abroad. Over the past few decades, scientists have worked around the clock to build more accurate predictive models. And they've also worked with government and municipal officials to plan for the best possible recovery and mitigation scenarios for when a hurricane does hit land. Many people have also proposed out-of-the-box, let's diplomatically call them eccentric ideas about how to stop hurricanes as they're forming. Just last year, the current U.S. President Donald Trump raised eyebrows when he reportedly pitched his advisors on this weird concept. What if, he proposed, we drop nuclear bombs onto hurricanes and disrupt their paths and stop them from hitting the United States? The president told senior Homeland Security and national security officials this more than once, saying that they should look into using nuclear weapons to stop hurricanes that pose considerable threats to America. According to one report, Trump said, quote, I got it. I got it. Why don't we nuke them? They start forming off the coast of Africa. As they're moving across the Atlantic, we drop a bomb inside the eye of the hurricane and it disrupts it. Why can't we do that? We should note that in a tweet responding to these reports, the president appeared to deny the stories, calling them fake news in all capital letters. Most people would doubtlessly consider this a joke in ordinary circumstances, but this month, Congress started working on legislation to prevent this idea from moving off the drawing board and into action. Representative Sylvia Garcia, a Democrat from Texas, introduced the Climate Change and Hurricane Correlation and Strategy Act on the first day of the 2020 hurricane season. This legislation would require the administration to produce and submit to Congress a comprehensive government-led strategy and five annual reports outlining how to properly confront increasing hurricane activity. Additionally, the legislation would also prohibit the president from unleashing any strategic weapon to alter weather patterns or to respond to climate change. Representative Garcia, in a statement, said, "Normally, I wouldn't think we'd need to legislate something so obvious, but given remarks the president made in August 2019, apparently we do." She continued, saying such use would result in radioactive fallout and cause significant public health and environmental harm. Though scientists do not support the notion to nuke storms, the idea has surfaced enough in public discourse to motivate the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which is tasked with monitoring and forecasting weather changes, to post an online fact check that contradicts this suggestion. The NOAA says, during each hurricane season, there always appear suggestions that one should simply use nuclear weapons to try and destroy the storms. Apart from the fact that this might not even alter the storm, this approach neglects the problem that the released radioactive fallout would fairly quickly move, with the trade winds, to affect land areas and cause devastating environmental problems. Needless to say, the organization concludes, this is not a good idea. I will note that by issuing a statement, it does appear that they needed to say this. Representative Garcia noted this statement in her legislation, which argues that the increasing frequency of hurricanes are a function of climate change. Upon introduction, Garcia's legislation was referred to the Armed Services, Energy and Commerce, and Space Science and Technology Committees. Our third story today, man's best friend may soon be pitching in the global fight against the coronavirus pandemic. A group of researchers based in France have started evaluating dogs as an alternative to helping diagnose COVID-19. They have found that the animals can apparently detect its presence in humans. These researchers at the National Veterinary School of Alfort outside of Paris trained 8 dogs to identify people infected with the coronavirus. They used odor samples taken from the armpits of more than 360 people, some of whom were positive for the virus and some of whom were negative. the dogs were able to detect the presence of COVID-19 in some of them, and they had a 95% overall success rate. In their paper, these researchers say introducing dog olfactive detection, in other words, the dog's superpower of smell, is a cheap, quick, and reliable tool to either pretest willing participants, or it could be a fast-checking option in certain circumstances. For instance, security at an airport. They say, quote, "The first step for such an approach was to determine if the samples we decided to choose, axillary sweat, aka the stuff they got from the armpits, could allow the dogs to olfactively discriminate between positive and negative people regarding COVID-19. This proof-of-concept study provides evidence according to which the axillary sweat of SARS-CoV-2-infected people can be detected by trained dogs." They outline their next step, saying they'd like to carry out a validation study with the same 8 dogs of this proof of concept and provide a sense of the specificity of the dog's diagnosis. They said their study, like many others examining the amazing sensory abilities of dogs, defined the performance in accordance with what's called the signal detection theory. It works like this. A true positive is when a dog indicates the target odor by a sit response. A false positive is when the dog alerts to a non-target position. A false negative is when the dog fails to exhibit the trained alert in the presence of that odor. And a true negative is when the dog does not alert in the absence of the target odor. They say that all trials of the dogs were filmed to check their sniffing behavior afterwards, because this will allow the researchers to determine the duration of each trial before the dog caught on to the presence of COVID. The researchers, of course, admit that using dogs is not a new idea here. They refer to a hypothesis that was put forward back in 1989 that dogs could be used to detect malignant tumors. The researchers used 3 types of detection dogs for this: explosives detection dogs, search and rescue dogs, as well as colon cancer detection dogs. So thank you once again to the canines of the world. You truly are too good for us. That's all for now. We've been asking you to chime in with suggestions for stories you think your fellow listeners should know about, to hit us with your best or worst dad jokes and puns, and to tell us about your personal experience with COVID-19, the ongoing protest, or anything else happening in your neck of the global woods. Let us know by tagging #StrangeDaily on Twitter. You can also reach out to me directly. I'm at BenBolinHSW on Twitter or at BenBolin on Instagram. Today's submission comes from MikeSams331 on Twitter. Mike says, "Did you hear Julie Andrews will no longer endorse cheap lipstick? It crumbles easily. It makes her breath smell." She explained, "The super color fragile lipstick gives me halitosis." Dylan, can we get like a drum beat or a womp womp or something? Perfect. Thanks so much, Mike. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Dylan Fagan, our research associate, Sam Teagarden, and most importantly, thanks to you. I'm Ben Bolin. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, stay strange.